ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ. This is Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 3, entitled Hiranyakashipu Plans, Hiranyakashipu's Plan to Become Immortal, Text 25, 26, 27, and 27 is on the board. Shri Hiranyakashipu Uvacha. No, sorry. Atmana, Chivita, Cha. Idam Srijati Avati Lumpati Gaja Satwa Tama Dhamne Paraya Mahate Namaha Atmana Chivita Chidam Srijati Avati Lumpati Gaja Satwa Tamo Dhamne Paraya Mahate Nama Atmana Chivita Chivita Chidam Chijatya Vati Lumpati Raja Satwa Tamo Dhamne Paraya Mahate Nama Atmana Chivita Chidam Chijatya Vati Lumpati Raja Satvatatamo Dhamne Paraya Mahate Nama. Atmana, by himself, Chivita, conducted by the three modes of material nature. Cha, also. Idam, this material world. Srijati, creates. Avati, maintains. Lumpati, annihilates. Raja, of the mode of passion. Satwa, the mode of goodness. Tama, the mode of ignorance. Dhamne, unto the Supreme Lord. Paraya, unto the Supreme. Mahate, and to the great. Namaha, my respectful obeisances. So reading from 25. Then, translation, then getting up, this is Hiranyakashipu, then getting up from the ground and seeing Lord Brahma before him, the head of the Daityas was overwhelmed by jubilation. With tears in his eyes, his whole body shivering, he began praying in a humble mood, with folded hands and faltering voice to satisfy Lord Brahma. 26-27, translation. Let me offer, that's the prayer of Hiranyakashipu. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Lord within this universe. At the end of each day of his life, the universe is fully covered with dense darkness by the influence of time, and then again during the next day, that self-effulgent Lord, by his own effulgence, manifests, maintains, and destroys the entire cosmic manifestation. Manifests, maintains, and destroys the entire cosmic manifestation through the material energy, which is invested with the three modes of material nature. He, Lord Brahma, is the shelter of those modes of nature, sattva, gun, rajogun, and tamogun. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada ki. The word Abhivyaman Jagat Idam refers to He who creates this cosmic manifestation. The original creator is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, Janmadasya Yata. Lord Brahma is the secondary creator. When Lord Brahma is empowered by Lord Krishna as the engineer to create the phenomenal world, listen to this, he becomes the supremely powerful feature within this universe. The total material energy is created by Krishna, and later, taking advantage of that, has necessarily been created. Lord Brahma engineers the entire phenomenal universe. At the end of Lord Brahma's day, everything up to Swarga Loka is inundated with water. And the next morning, when there is darkness in the universe, Brahma again brings the phenomenal manifestation to existence. Therefore, he is described here as he who manifests this universe. Trigunan Vinuti, Lord Brahma takes advantage of the three modes of material nature. Prakriti means material nature, is described here as Tri Vrita, the source of the three material modes. Sri Madhvacharya comments in this connection that Tri Vrita means Prakritya. Thus Lord Krishna is the original creator and Lord Brahma is the original engineer. Om Jnana Timan Dasya Gyananjala Shalakaya Chakshu Mitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Shtapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Bhukva Kadamayam Datati Swapadantikam. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasadi Go Bhakta Vinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Gam, Hare Gam, Gam Gam, Hare Hare. Vanshakal Patu Vyacha Pipasinu Vyayavacha Patita Nam Pavani Vyo Vaishnavi Vyo Namonma. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pashtaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tinamine. Namaste Saswati Devi Gauravani Pacharine Nivishesha Shunyavadi Pachita Teshtarine. So Hiranyakashipu, his only focus is Lord Brahma. He's thinking, if I worship Lord Brahma, then I'll satisfy my desire to become all-powerful. He wants to kill Vishnu. But because his vision is tainted, he can't understand that everything comes from Vishnu. What's the verse? Icha dvesha samutana. It means that there's desire and then there's envy. So we have the desire to become Krishna, to get what Krishna has, and we have the envy of Krishna. So Hiranyakashipu, he can't understand because he can't see beyond material nature. So he's thinking that Lord Brahma, he didn't do all his homework, he was thinking that Lord Brahma would make him immortal. So he got the second best thing. He was thinking that now at least no one can kill me. He was thinking in this way. So he was worshipping Lord Brahma in this way, thinking that if I worship Lord Brahma, I'm going to give everything I want. Prabhupada explains, there was a discussion between Bhujan Prabhu and Prabhupada. He said that people, they don't believe that when we tell them that the sun is the eye of Krishna. So Prabhupada said that when you focus on the eye of the cat, you can't see the face. You can't understand the face of the cat. So because they're only focusing on material nature, they can't understand where it's coming from. So that was Hiranyakashipu. Even though he had so much knowledge, these demons, they had a lot of knowledge. They know Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But because of the envy, they couldn't actually surrender to Krishna. Even as devotees, you know, sometimes you see the ghost manifestation of envy, because envy starts by envying the creation of the Lord. Like you see how we don't, many times people don't allow people to be what they are. Like for example, when the Jews, they try to destroy the Jews by, you know, the German people, or the Turks try to kill the Armenians, or you go to Africa, like in Rwanda, they try to destroy the people. This is envy of the Lord that is manifested through His creation. You don't allow. Prabhupada speaks about unity, diversity in unity. But that's not possible in the material world to be diversified and unified. Because if you diversify, there cannot be a new unity. In the spiritual world, you can do it because Krishna is the center. So when Prabhupada speaks about us displaying our love for Him by cooperating, it means He wants us to have this vision of Krishna being in the center. When it's difficult for us to get along with people who are different from us, because it's just not us. So it's difficult to tolerate what is different than us. But that is a manifestation of the envy that we have for Krishna, because we don't allow what is beyond us. Like for example, someone may be different, but that difference that this person displays is actually Krishna's manifestation also. He's manifesting the qualities that Krishna is displaying through him. And if we can actually work together, that means manifest, take the qualities of others, take our qualities, put them together in service to Krishna, then we can find unity within the diversity. And then there can be service to Prabhupada within ISKCON and Mayapur in this way. But because Hiranyakashipu's vision was one-sided, he was thinking that this is Lord Brahma, and Lord Brahma is the supreme powerful within that universe. Like for example, when we create situation, we are the all-powerful within that situation. Like when children are born, they're thinking that the universe is their parents. There's nothing else beyond their parents. Like the Yamadutas, when they tried to bring Ajamil to hell, they were defeated. So they were bewildered and they were angry. And they went to Yamaraj and they said, is there anyone more powerful than you? Because their vision was very limited. They only saw within a certain perspective. So Yamaraj said, yes, there's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now Krishna says, if you see everything in me and me in everything, then you have the real vision. There was a discussion between Ramananda Roy and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he tells him that, I'm seeing you as a sannyasi, then I see you as a coward boy, then I'm seeing you in a golden form, and then you take that golden color, and then I see you again as a coward boy in a dark color. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, yes. He says, the devotee, when he sees anything, he doesn't see the form of that thing. He sees Krishna. Because his vision is beyond the material energy. He sees beyond. He's cut the material energy. Not that he's impersonalist. Prabhupada gives example that this is Mr. Johnson's son. So this is how the devotee sees. This is the son of Krishna. This is the energy of Krishna. This is Krishna's manifestation. But he cannot see anything different. He only sees Krishna and everything in the relationship of Krishna. But because Hiranyakashipu is covered by envy, he cannot see. He's only seeing what he wants to see within his material perspective. And the highest perception of envy is this impersonalist conception. Like we have the story of Ramachandra Puri, you know, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So he would become envious of the Vaishnavas, of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's devotees. So they would invite him, Jagannanda invited him to eat, and then they feed him, he's eating, then he's telling them that you should eat also, and they say, no, we don't want to eat, we'll eat after. And then he's feeding them, and he's criticizing them. He said that you eat so much, and he was criticizing all the devotees. And then what happened? He started criticizing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He went in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's room, he saw some ants, he said, ah, you eat too much sugar. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had to cut his food in half, just to, you know, not be criticized. And the devotees were so angry. And then he went to his own guru. His guru was ready to leave his body, and his guru was lamenting, Madhavendra Puri, who is also the guru of Ramachandrapu, and Ishwarapu, and Ishwarapu is the guru of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Madhavanapu in ecstasy said, when I will see you, Krishna? Aha! You didn't see Krishna? And Madhavanapu was so angry that you go away, because if I see you when I leave, my life will be destroyed. So this impersonal conception is like shredding. You know when you have a machine and you're shredding paper? They're trying to shred Krishna to pieces. No eyes, no face, no legs. That's the ultimate conception of destroying Krishna. That, you know, a world without God. That's what the Westerners sometimes say, no God. So Prabhupada said this dvesha, or this envy, starts in the spiritual world. We look at Krishna and we're thinking, wow, this is what I want also. He's dancing with the gopis, he has the rasa dance, he's doing these activities, I also want that. So Krishna, it's like the son. The son's thinking, I want to be the father also. But the father says, better get another apartment and you leave. Because you can't be the father with, when the father is there. So Krishna is saying, okay. He says, you leave, here's your little world, here are your gopis, and then you can think that you're Krishna there. So the dvesha, this desire, envy, is very deep-rooted within the living entity. And even us as devotees, even though externally we surrender, we do certain things, but the reason, at least for me, that I don't have these ecstasies, my hair not standing on end, I'm not crying when I'm chanting, because still I'm envious of Krishna. I still don't want to surrender. Ultimately, deep-rooted within my heart, I'm holding on, I'm clutching on to the desire to enjoy material nature separate from Krishna. This is a deep-rooted envy within the heart of the living entity. It's so deep-rooted, even as devotees. Externally, the person says, hey, I'm not going to do what you want. You're not my boss. This is the external manifestation of the envy. But we become more subtle. We're chanting, we're doing a little bit, we're practicing a little bit, but ultimately we're still holding on because this envy that we have for Krishna is still manifesting within the heart. It's so deep in the living entity. That's why we've been here for lifetimes after lifetimes. It's such a powerful thing. And that's why Hiranyakashipu, he cannot see beyond. Prabhupada is explaining how Hiranyakashipu, Brahma, is the ultimate ruler of the world. What is the word he's using? He's saying that Lord Brahma is the ultimate... Sorry, one second. What is it? Supreme one? Yes. He's a supreme powerful feature within this universe. And this is what we are also in different situations. Every time you create something, like the child, he's thinking, I got some Legos at Christmas, I'm making something. He said, look what I made, I engineered this. But actually the Legos are not from him, the material to make the Legos are not him. But within his own universe, he's the boss. Because that is the manifestation of Krishna's love. Krishna is manifesting his love by giving us and satisfying the desire for us to become him. So Prabhupada explains that surrender to Krishna means to accept Krishna. Like Arjuna, at the end of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, you accept or you don't accept. That is the only choice. So Prabhupada says, we may not want to accept death. But surrender means to accept death with love. I mean, yes, I'm going to die and I love for Krishna. So like Prahlad. Prahlad was very accepting. He didn't care in which situation Krishna put him, because he didn't envy Krishna. He accepted whatever Krishna gave him. He accepted that I am servant of Krishna. Whatever Krishna does to me, I will accept. I'm not the boss. But at the moment that we still thinking that we are in charge or in control, then we don't accept our situations in the material world, and therefore we fight. We don't surrender to the situation Krishna gives us for spiritual advancement. You understand? Prahlad was so surrendered that they kill him, they don't kill him. You know, you can trample me to death, you can embrace me, whatever you do, I don't care. Like Radharani is saying that, you know, if it pleases you to see me suffer, then I want to suffer because it pleases you. That is the devotee's desire to please Krishna. Because there's no envy. It's not trying to take the position. This Bhoktaram Yagatavasyam Savalokamaishwam verse. That Krishna is the enjoyer. He's the beneficiary of all the living entities. He's in control of all the world, the devatas and so on. As long as we're still trying to do these things in the material world, we'll never be satisfied. Because we don't want to accept that it is not me. But at the moment that we accept, then everything becomes peaceful. Like Pingala. You know the story of Pingala? No, was it Pingala? It was Pingala. She was waiting. It's in the Pandu, Pandava Gita. Anyways, there's 12 gurus explained, and one is Pingala. And she was waiting all night for someone to come, one client. And the client wasn't coming. And at the end, she became so disgusted. And she surrendered, and she became peaceful. And she realized that actually, what is this body? It's full of flesh and blood and urine. And then she surrendered. She felt satisfied. So we have to come to this point of just letting it go. At the moment we let go, then we feel peaceful, we feel satisfied, we feel okay, because we're not thinking we're in control. To think we're in control puts us in anxiety, because we cannot control. We're trying to control things, but it's not working. And still we're trying to control. By the moment you let it go, because you know, like for example, the child, so peaceful, in the arms of the mother, he's so peaceful, the mother can do this, throw, up, down, it's okay. Because I know the mother's going to protect me. But as long, like Draupadi, she was putting her arms, she was still trying to hold the sari. The moment she surrendered, she became peaceful, Krishna protected. So that is the envy part that we have to give up. If we give up that envy part in the sense of surrender and letting it go, then we can become very peaceful, because we accept this is my position. Krishna can use me like this. Like the neophyte conception is that I'm a cook. I'm a pujari. I'm a book distributor. I'm a manager. Because I'm thinking that I have some devotion, and that devotion has to be manifested in a certain form. But so what? If Krishna wants me to manifest as a manager, and tomorrow he's kicking me out, and I become the sweeper, what is the difference? I'm still manifesting my devotion, let it be by sweeping, or let it be by manager. Like sometimes people say, oh, MAC member. I said, yeah, but in 6 months I'll be sweeping maybe, and then you'll become the MAC member. Whatever Krishna wants to use us, we accept. Because all I want to do is serve Krishna, and he will put me in different positions to test me, to make me advance, and in that way I can display my devotion. And the inability to do this comes from this envy part, that we don't want to accept that Krishna is actually in charge. We want to be in charge. We know the struggle when the children at home are trying to be in charge. They don't want to accept the authority, they want to be in charge. What struggle? But at the moment they accept the authority of the parents, everything becomes very peaceful, and the parents maintain them and takes good care of them. That is a natural propensity. Prabhupada says that when the Krishna is saying, oh my God, please give me my daily bread, please give me this. So Prabhupada is saying, he's saying, the father is thinking, what, I'm not going to feed you? I'm not going to dress you? Obviously I'm going to dress you, what's your problem? You're not thinking I'm going to give you these things? So at the moment that the devotee can surrender fully, can understand that actually I am not the center of everything, not everyone has to love me. See, it's a problem, people won't like you. Yeah, that's okay, because that's how it is. I am not Krishna, that everyone should love me. Oh, I can't control all situation. Yeah, obviously, because I'm not Krishna. So at the moment we accept that, then we become very peaceful. And then we accept Krishna's activities and we become advanced. So Hiranyakashipu, his vision was only Lord Brahma. He wanted to control. He thought, he's the most powerful person. I'm going to approach Lord Brahma and then I'll be able to get the tools to kill Lord Vishnu. But still envious. Yesterday I was reading a verse in the Russian class I was giving. And it says that even though the materialist can get the opulence of the whole universe, still he remains envious. Generally you would think, you would reword the phrase by saying, even though he gets the whole universe, still he remains greedy. Or still he remains lusty for more. But Papa didn't say that. Even though he has the whole universe, still he's envious. Envious means like, I'm thinking, he has more than me, let me get more. So I'm getting more. But he still has more than me. Because I'm envious. So I want more. So it's not I'm more greedy or lusty, I'm more envious. And this envy is creating the lust and the greed. Lust, anger, greed, the three gates leading to hell. So our real problem is this dvesha. Isha dvesha samutina. The desire to have what Krishna has and the envy of Krishna. So if we can perform our duty, the solution is perform duty. Because the problem is the mind. The mind is the one deviating us all the time. Oh, I'm this, oh, I'm that, why this person has this? But if we can control the mind through the duty, oh, 4 o'clock, let me get up for Mangalati. No, don't get up. No, it's my duty, I must get up. Then it's time for my service. No, it's raining. It's cold. Let me not go. No, 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 no. Do your duty. So as we do the duty, the mind becomes stronger. And as the mind becomes stronger, we overcome the modes. As you overcome the modes, then you can finally engage in service. Because the mind is not going up and down. Boga, tyaga, boga, tyaga. You know this pendulum? These grandfather clocks, dung, 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 dung. I always give the story of my sister when she used to diet. One day chocolate, one day salad. One day chocolate, one day salad. Huh? She was thinking, today I'll do the salad. So this is the mind going back and forth. This is a neophyte stage like this. But if we can maintain our duty, the whole thing the Gita says is do your duty. Do your duty. You just go and you fight. So if we can maintain our level of duty as we practice our devotional service, the heart will become purified so we can start seeing. Like Dhruva, what happened to Dhruva? He was doing his duty. Om Namo Bhagavate, he was worshipping, he was fasting, and then Vishnu appeared. And then what happened? He woke up. He saw the light. And everything else became irrelevant. So we want to come to that stage. Everything will become irrelevant. All these material desires. But we have to manage to do the duty and control the mind so that we let the time for the heart to become purified through the chanting, through the service to the devotees, through seeing the deities. And then as the heart becomes clean, then you're going to see, oh, I'm not God, this is God, I'm servant. It's going to become natural in this way. So then we can come to the point of releasing ourselves from envy and then engaging in service and attaining, you know, ananta, ultimate pleasure. So just to summarize, this is Lord, this is Hiranyakashipu praying to Lord Brahma. He definitely wants his boon. Lord Brahma is appearing to him. For him, Brahma is everything he knows. Even though he knows Lord Vishnu, he cannot connect Vishnu to Lord Brahma. Why? Because of his envy. And Lord Brahma for him is the most powerful living entity within the universe, within his world. And in this way, and then it's explained here that because he's a materialist, it's not explained in this way, but he doesn't understand that the supreme engineer is Brahma, but he's taking Krishna's element, who is his original creator. Hare Krishna. Is any question or comments?
Hare Krishna, thank you Bhuji. As you spoke that Hiranyakashipu, he was knowing that Supreme Lord is all material creation is manifested for him, Supreme Lord. So I think he must be knowing that Brahma is not Supreme Lord. He is the Supreme Lord within the universe. Still he was worshipping Brahma. Why?
Well, Bhagavad Gita says men of less intelligence, they worship the demigods.
You know, he was,
but even if you know, it's like we know that people don't want to worship Hari because Hari takes away. So even though Indian people many times they know Hari is Krishna, they're not going to worship Hari because Hari is not going to give material benefits. So they go to the demigods so they can get material benefits. So even though you may know intellectually, doesn't mean within emotionally or spiritually you actually fully understand. Like Ravana, he had so much knowledge of the Vedic literature. But because of the envy, it stopped them. Like we also know, but we're not pure devotees. We surrender to so many other things in the material world. We surrender to the desire, we surrender to people, we surrender to the wives, we surrender to the husbands, I mean in a material way. We know so many things. We know Krishna's God. We hear it every day. We see him on the altar and still we're not pure devotees. Why? Why are we not fully surrendered? Because the realization is not profound realization. It's still covered by envy. Make sense? So we know the demons, they had a lot of knowledge. They were great people. They knew the Vedas and everything. I mean, they were the brothers of the demigods. But they were the bad side of the brothers. So they know, but they rejected. Anything else? Thank you. Anything else? Questions, comments? Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki.